just going to stand like logs of wood, and people that have not been encouraged or favored, or God has been gracious to us. Praise the Lord. When God is gracious to you, you will be excited all the time. If you really believe that God has been gracious unto you. Our sister was sharing the testimony. He said, God told me. He said to me, he said, your brother is going to pick up the bill. Hallelujah. Your brother will pick up the bill. But she still went to be calling brothers. Hallelujah. Did God tell you you should call them? He never told you. He said, your brother will pay the bill. God is the one that will call your brother. Praise the Lord. You see, sometimes you need to allow your father to do what he said he would do. Because if he said it, he will do it. Praise the Lord. Don't try to badge a door open that God will not open by himself. Glory be to Jesus. If God made a promise to you, my brother, my sister, it is coming to pass. Hallelujah. All you and I need to do is just to give thanks to him. And say, Father, I thank you because that promise you made to me is coming to pass. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the living Jesus. Hallelujah. And don't think, oh, I'm waiting too long. Because all of us fall into that temptation. When God gives you a word, you are looking for a way you can make the word to come to pass by yourself. Abraham tried it. Sarah tried it. But they came to realize by their own life's lessons that it is better to wait on God. That God is never too late. Glory be to Jesus. Just rest. Be at peace. Know fully well that God will come through for you. It may look as if it will take time. It may seem as if it's not going to happen. Everything in your environment may be negative to what you believe. But if you believe it, that is all that God needs. He will reward your faith in him. He will reward your faith in his word. Can somebody shout a believing amen in this place this morning? Praise the Lord. Pick up your Bible and let us start. We are going on a journey today, but I promise you that the journey of today is going to end with rejoicing in your hearts. In the mighty name of Jesus. The book of Genesis, chapter 37. The book of Genesis. There's so much that we could read, but I'm going to spare you today. Because the story that I want to expose us to in a new way, a new dimension today, will cover more than a chapter. Because it's a story of one person. Hallelujah. Genesis 37. Let's just read from verse 5 to verse 13. And then we'll read verse 18. Praise the Lord. Genesis 37. Are you there? Let's read from verse 5. To 13, and then we'll read verse 18. If you are there, want to go. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, the dream which I have dreamt. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his children said, and the brethren said to him, shall thou indeed reign over us, or shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream. And he told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed another dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said to him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come bow down ourselves to thee on this earth? And his brethren envied him. But his father observed the saying. And these brethren went to feed their father's flock in Shechem. And Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? Come, and I will send thee. Verse 18. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near unto them, they conspired against him to slay him. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the gift of your word. Thank you because your word, they are spirit and they are life. And so, Father, with full confidence, your spirit goes forth right now with power, with authority and simplicity to cause every life under the sound of my voice to receive the life of God, to cause every life to be built up and to conform with destiny. I declare it forth over every ear that hears me in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, take absolute control. Do that which only you can do in this place. For where you are, there is liberty to receive from the Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I titled today's message, Realize Your God-Given Dream. Realize your God-given dream. Praise the Lord. A dream that does not include faith is not really worthy of being called a God-given dream. If your dream is minus faith, then it is not worthy of being called a God-given dream. If God gives you a dream, then it will take God for you to realize that dream. Praise the Lord. Good thing we talked about the testimony of our sister. When God said, your brother is going to pay, it was God himself that made it happen. Is it not God himself that made it happen? It was God. Praise the Lord. God's work will never lack his support. If God gives you a dream, he will support the dream until that dream is realized. There was something that God said to Jacob after that Jacob had tricked his brother Esau and he got his blessings from their father Isaac, and the mother told him to run away with the blessing. And when he met God on the way, God told him, he said, I will not leave you nor forsake you until I have finished everything that I propose to do in your life. Praise the Lord. So you may be seated here today and God has given you a dream. I make bold to declare to you today that God will not leave you, neither will he forsake you until he has completed and cause you to realize that dream in the mighty name of Jesus. If it is a God-given dream, it can die. Put it in a pit, it will arise. Put it in prison, it will check out of the prison. Praise the Lord. If it is of God, it will live. If it is of God, it will come to pass. Hallelujah. God does not have an abandoned project. When God decides he's going to do something, he had already completed it before he started to do it. That is why the Bible says he knows the end from the beginning. Whatsoever is happening in your life, whatsoever has happened in your life, whatsoever will happen in your life, is not going to come to God as a shock. Hallelujah. Now you, it may come to you as a shock, but never to God as a shock. You know why? Because he knew your beginning. If he authored you, he will finish it. Whatever God gets started, he keeps going. He knows everything about you. Praise the Lord. Everything he knows about you. When you thought you got away with something, he knew. Hallelujah. Before you fell into the pit, he knew you were going to fall into the pit. And he knew that he's going to get you out of it. Glory be to Jesus. We call him the beginning and the end. He is the beginning and he is also the end. He is God that sits in the present and he knows the future which you and I don't. He was before your past. He is in your present and he's also at the same time in your future. That's God for you. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus.
Everyone who has a God-given dream, there is something that they have realized. If their dreams have become successful, there is something that they have realized and there is something that they have in common. What is it that they have in common? These people are people who take risks. There is nobody who has realized their dream in this world. Ask anybody who said, this is a dream that God gave to me, and today I'm living that dream. They will tell you of their experiences. They will tell you, first of all, that they had to navigate through a storm in their lives. That they had to go through some crisis. That at some time, they had to face some blame. And at some time, they needed to take some chance. Chance happens to everybody. Everybody has a chance. But those who fulfill their dreams are people who take their chances. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. These are people who never concentrate on the risk that they face. These are people who do not concentrate on the risk that they face. They don't concentrate. They don't focus on the risk. They don't focus on dangers. They don't focus on any blame. They only concentrate on the results. Can I hear an amen? They only concentrate on the results. Those are people who live to realize their God-given dreams. Has God given you a dream? Do you have a dream? Is there a place that you want to be in life? Is there something you want to accomplish that the world would know that you came? Hallelujah. May God give you such a dream. Because the dream that God gives his children is not a dream that will make you a non-entity. It's a dream that will cause your steps to be registered on the sand of times. Hallelujah. So how come they were not concentrating on risk? How come they did not concentrate on the dangers that they faced on the way? How come that they didn't give up or succumb to the blame game? How come they were able to face all the trials that they faced? How come they were able to concentrate only on the results? On realizing their dream. That was their focus. Praise the Lord. Regardless of everything contrary, speaking to them that that dream will not become a reality. That it is too late to realize that dream. But they ignored all the opposing words. They ignored it all and concentrate on the results that they will get. How were they able to do it? That's exactly what I want to talk to you about today. There are many things that will make a dream to become a reality. But there is one thing that is common among everyone who God gave a dream and the dream came to pass in their lives. Hallelujah. And this one thing is attitude. Let somebody say attitude. Attitude. Attitude is everything. I'm sure many times you have heard it said that your attitude determines your altitude. Praise the Lord. The attitude that you carry about the dream that God has given you will determine whether you realize that dream or whether that dream will suffer a shipwreck. Amen. We plead the blood of Jesus over the atmosphere, over this place, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. So that is the common fabric amongst successful people. It's the attitude that they carry. Attitude talks about how you perceive where you are on your way to where you're going. How do you perceive the situations in your life? How do you perceive the challenges and the tests that you are facing? It will determine whether you will realize your dream or you will not realize your dream. So it is important for you and I to at all times have a positive and a right attitude towards every phase of our lives. You have to have the right attitude, a positive attitude, not a negative attitude. Regardless of what you are going through, praise the Lord. Right attitude will birth your dreams. If you have a right attitude about whatever life hands over to you, you will birth your dreams. Praise the Lord. A right attitude will attract positive things to you. You know, sometimes you have such a big dream, because if God gives you a dream, it has to be big. If you are here, seated here today, and you have a dream, and you have already worked out how that dream is going to work out for you, it's not from God. And it won't even require faith. But if it is God that gave you the dream, it has to include faith. Meaning it is bigger than you. Hallelujah. That dream has to be bigger than you. You know why? Because like I said, God's work, he has to support it. So you will have to come back to God and say, this God, what you have given to me, I don't have what it takes. Then he will tell you, I am all that you need. Praise the Lord. Be attentive to what God is saying to you today. Because there are many things you believe, God, this is what. God has even shown some of you some things. But you have looked at it and said, Mike. In fact, something in your heart will be telling you, you are just being greedy. You are just being greedy. What do you have that you think that one, I beg, let's stay on our own level. No, that's not my level. God's level is my level. Praise the Lord. Because I'm not the one who is going to do it. It is him who is going to do it. The owner of a cattle on 1,000 hills. The one who says, silver is mine, gold is mine, the earth is mine and the fullness thereof, and everything that is within it and all the people, they all belong to me. And I turn the king's hearts whichever way that I will. I'm the one who is going to get your dream to come to pass. Tell your neighbor, be anxious for nothing. Praise the Lord. In our text today, we saw Brother Joseph, wonderful guy. The youngest, well, almost, of his father's children. God gave him a dream. He told his brothers the dream. He told his parents the dream that he had. Even they themselves felt that dream is not possible. In fact, they were angry. Hallelujah. But there was something that he had. He had the right attitude concerning his dream. All the people around him had negative attitude towards it.
Everybody. His father had a negative attitude. The mother had a negative attitude. All his siblings had negative attitudes towards the dream. Only Joseph and God believed in it. When they ran down the first dream, God gave him another one. Hallelujah. When God gives you a dream, no matter how they try to press it down, it's still going to stay afloat. Because that dream is really not about you. It's about God. And you can't put God down. You can't lock him up in a pit. You can't lock him in a prison. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 to 3 told us about the experience of Jesus' dream. And the Bible said that Jesus endured the shame. He despised that shame because of a joy that is set before him. That joy is the dream that he will be given a name that is above every other name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, both in heaven and on earth and under the earth, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus had that dream. Because of it, he despised the shame. He was able to go through the crucifixion. He was beaten and stricken and smitten. But he went through it all with a good attitude. Ask me how I knew that Jesus had the right attitude towards the pain, towards the hardship, towards the rejection that he had. How did I know? Because while he was hanging on the crucifixion tree, Jesus himself was still leading other people to the kingdom of God. While he was bleeding on his side, while he sees that he's about to die, he still was leading people. He told the thief that was hanging on the tree there. He said, "This day you will enter the kingdom of God with me." That is the attitude of people who realize their God-given dreams. Hallelujah. They do not concentrate on the pain. If he was concentrating on the pain, he probably would have begged these Roman soldiers and said, okay, everything I said, I didn't mean it. May we Christians of today have that same attitude that Jesus had. But the attitude we are seeing today are people compromising their dreams. When it gets too hard, you compromise. When it's getting too tough, you compromise. No. When the road is tough, the tough gets going. You've got to be tough on the inside concerning your dream. If anybody is trying to substitute your dream, be tough and say, "No, that's not the dream that God gave me." Don't try to compromise. What dream has God given unto you? Hallelujah. Try and think, what's the dream that he has given unto you that you have allowed fear to bury, anxiety to kill, hello, or other voices to discourage? Those who see their dreams realized, they do not concentrate on all those negative attitudes. They concentrate on the right attitude. Praise the Lord. Let me explain to you what really is a right attitude. What kind of attitude really should I have towards my dream? What's a right attitude that I would have? Number one, be sure that the dream that you have is God-given. It must come from God. And when it comes from God, it comes from the inside. Not from the outside. God does not work from the outside to the inside. He works from the inside to the outside. Praise the Lord. A right attitude will cause you to walk in integrity. Let somebody say integrity. What do we really mean by integrity? Simply,
Your yea is yea and your nay is nay. What you are in the dark is still who you are in the light. Your word, you depend on it. It forms the standard of who you are as a person. Praise the Lord. That's integrity. What you believe forms your standard. What you believe about God, what you believe in the word of God, forms your benchmark. And you do not deviate from it, no matter what happens to you. Praise the Lord. That's integrity. That's a man and a woman of integrity. You want your dream to be realized, you've got to live a life of integrity. These days, people don't think much about integrity. Too many people live lives of compromises. People don't have standards. Beloved, if you don't have a standard, you will fall for anything. Praise the Lord. If you don't have a standard, you will fall for anything. And standards will demand from you that if anybody is bringing something to you, giving you an advice or a counsel or wants to sell something to you, you stay back. And there are certain indices that you first of all check. Hallelujah. You see, many of us are too, you just see something, it's showing blue, blue. All that glitters is not gold. You have had that before. Sometimes you need to take a step back and think about what you have been offering. And you say to yourself, does this match up? Is this what Jesus will do? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Before you just go and tell yourself and say, I'm in. Sometimes all the I'm in, you are telling the devil that you are already in his camp. And if you are there and he has deceived you today, you are vacating. Praise the Lord. Integrity is everything. But many of us think we take it with a pinch of salt. We don't think that it is important. There are many of you who have dreams and say, hey, I don't have the capital. If only I have the capital. If only I have the family. If only I have people to do things to me. Who did Joseph have? Hallelujah. Even his father didn't believe in his dream. You will not invest in what you don't believe in. They didn't believe in it. His father had money. Remember that he sold a cloth of many colors to him. He was well-dressed, his father's favorite. But when he had a dream, the father said, I'm not supporting it. Hello? That reminds me of a story of a lady who, a lawyer, actually she graduated as a lawyer and she was working in the chambers. And, you know, in those days, I don't know now, but I know that in lawyers' chambers, they don't pay them that much. In those days, it's small money that they pay junior lawyers. It's small until you become a partner. It's just small money. So the girl was managing. After all, I'm still in my father's house. I'm just managing. Until the senior partner decided he was moving his chambers many, many kilometers away from where she was living. Before, she would just walk to work. But now she would not have to take transport. So she went to her boss and said, boss, I will need some raise concerning transportation because of this. And the boss said, look, this is all that you're going to get. Hallelujah. When God is about to move you in the direction he wants you, certain things will stop working. Hallelujah. So one day in church, a sister was about to get married, who had very little means, and they were asked to support this lady, whoever has this support for her, to support her in the marriage ceremony and all that she would require. And she looked at herself, what can she donate and to help this sister, lovely sister? And she decided, I'm good with my hands. What can I make for her that will not cost me much? She now said, maybe I'll get her a tiara. And then she thought it would be expensive. You know what a tiara is? You know that thing's beaded something that they put here to hold the veil of the bride. And then the Holy Spirit just put it in her spirit, the creativity. Hallelujah. When it's time for you to begin to walk the path of your dreams, things just begin to flow. And then she started, she said, okay, how am I going to do it? She got home, she told her junior brother, and said, I want to make a tiara for this girl. He said, okay, what it is, let me go and buy beads and all those ones. They are not too expensive. The brother said, but how will we hold the beads together so that the thing can stand and all that. The brother said, I've got an idea. We are going to use a hanger. You know the iron hanger that we used to, the iron one. He said, we will cover it in a way that all the beads will go in and we'll make a design. Beloved, that was exactly what they did. They presented it to the bride. That was what she used on the wedding day. Everybody saw it that day. It was as if they've never seen a tiara before. They started asking, where did you get it? She said, it was sister so-and-so that made it for me. They went to her. My sister is getting married. Please, can you make this for me? Please, can you make that for me? Please, I want to order this. Please, I want to order that. That was how she was, you know, the little money she was collecting. But when God began to bless that dream, she now resigned as a lawyer. And the father said, I don't know what you are doing. I sent you to London to go and read law. You want to be making something bid. I wasted my money to send you to London, and now you think that making beads, you are not my daughter. They must have switched you in the hospital. I don't know who you are. Because the father didn't believe in her dream. But today, Makata Yabashata, the father herself said, I didn't believe in my daughter's dream, but I believe that this dream came from God. When he saw the hand of God upon the daughter, when the daddy had a need, and the girl would say, I will write it off. When the father needed to pay for something, she wrote her check. He said, God is with you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Nobody believed in Joseph's dream except Joseph and God himself. That was why in Genesis chapter 39, after the brothers have decided that this guy, we're going to kill him and we will see what will become of his dreams. What is going to happen to his dream? He's going. But one of the brothers said, let's not kill him. Let's just drop him inside the pit. So they dropped the dream inside the pit. But because it is a God-given dream, God is attached to what he gives. If it is a God-given dream, you cannot put God in a pit. He's going to come out. He is God. Hallelujah. Oluwa lo dile. Ile olemu. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Tell your neighbor, integrity is everything. You stand based on what you believe. Regardless of the storm, regardless integrity is everything. Hallelujah. So you have to be a man and a woman of integrity. Praise the Lord. Stand on what you believe, even if nobody else believes in it. All you need is God to believe in what you are doing. One with God is majority. Praise the Lord. And don't think because God gave you a dream, everybody is going to support your dream. No! No! The people that you think will support it will not support it. Hallelujah. But those people that will matter to that dream, they are the only ones that God will raise. And they will be the ones that will support the dream. Praise the Lord forevermore. Hallelujah. So walk in integrity. Right is right, regardless of the company you are keeping. Hello? You want your dream to be realized? Walk in integrity. You want your dream to be realized? Move in the company of dreamers. Amen. Hallelujah. Next one. Good character. Because integrity will demand good character from you. What's your character like? Good character, good conduct will take you further than your qualification. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. It will take you further than your qualification. You don't believe it. Open your Bible to Ecclesiastes. Read something there. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. In fact, I'm going to read it from my translation because I think this translation is so powerful. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. We'll read 10. Let's read verse 10. And then we'll read 11. Let me read it to you from my translation, the NLT translation. It says, whatever you do, do well. Whatever you do, do well. For when you go to the grave, there will be no work of planning or knowledge or wisdom. Whatsoever you do. Another translation will say, whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it with all your might. Praise the Lord. The reason why I love, you know, this scripture, because it kind of summarizes the attitude that Joseph had, particularly when he arrived in Egypt as a slave. It summarizes his attitude. Whatsoever your hand findeth to do, the Bible says, do it with all of your might. Don't just do it haphazardly. Don't do it with a negative attitude. Do it well. Regardless of wherever you are, do it well. Let's read on. Verse 11. I have observed something else under the sun. The fastest runner doesn't always win the race. The fastest runner does not always win the race. Are you listening? And the strongest warrior doesn't always win the battle. The wise sometimes go hungry. Is somebody listening? And the skillful are not necessarily wealthy. So you know that your skill will not necessarily deliver wealth to you. Let's hear what the writer says here. And those who are educated, do we have educated people here? Very good. This is for you, the educated one. And those who are educated don't always lead successful lives. Hallelujah. So education does not necessarily translate to success. Oh. This is not my word, though. This is the Bible. Hallelujah. It is all decided by what? By chance. It is decided by what? By what? So everybody has a chance. Those who are successful are those who take their own. Praise the Lord. It is decided by chance, by being in the right place at the right time. Praise the Lord. Whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it with all your might. That's what I saw about the attitude of Joseph. That even as a slave has no rights. A slave is told when to eat, what to eat. A slave is told when to go to the toilet, when to have a bath, and when not to have a bath. A slave has no rights whatsoever. He lives as the instance of his owner. He lives at the pleasure of the owner. Whatsoever the owner says, that's what he must abide with and abide by. Amen. But while a slave, still moving on the journey of his dream. Now, being a slave has absolutely nothing to do with that dream. This was a dream he had, that he saw that he was in a position where every other person, including a member of his family, would not be able to call him by his first name again. You know, some of us now, if your brother is the governor, you know, you cannot, in the presence of other people, and just say, Shegun, buddy, you can't call him by the first name, Your Excellency. You have to say Your Excellency. I was at a cousin's wedding, and I was supposed to introduce my own side of the family. And as I was introducing my oldest brother, I was saying, Doctor, so and so, I called him. And people that were sitting there said, Doctor, I called his first name. And the people said, no, Otumba. Praise the Lord. Otumba Gbaheha of Ondo Kingdom. Praise the Lord. And it dawned on me that day. Praise the Lord. Right there, what are they telling you? I know. It is the office. It carries an authority. Praise the Lord. The office carries some level of influence and dominion. And you cannot just tamper. You cannot just rub it on the floor like that. When you and your brother get inside you can call yourself whatever you like. But in front of other people in the public, you Otumba. Hallelujah. That was the dream that Joseph had. A dream that will announce him to the world. A dream that will elevate him. Praise the Lord. You see, sometimes we look at the situation in which we are. I'm spending time on this issue of integrity because integrity is everything. Some of us have a dream. Maybe your dream, you want to open a business or something. And you are saying, how will I do this thing? I don't have money. I don't have capital. How will I set up this school? How will I do this thing? How will I be able to do this? Who will support me? I don't know anybody. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because really, if you have a dream or if you have any calling and you want it, there are three P's that must be present. Hallelujah. There must be people. You must have some people that will support this thing. There must be provision. Hallelujah. And there must be prayer. But the good thing about it is, the prayer is the number one. Because when the prayer really gets going, the prayer will pull out the provision. The prayer will pull out the people. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. But you see, if you need people, you have to be a man and a woman of integrity. Integrity is an intangibility. It's something you can't say this is integrity, for instance. Hello, you understand what I'm saying? But if I put Naira here, full load for Ghana must go, you will see it now. You say that is the capital. But integrity is actually a capital. Because integrity has what it takes to pull capital to you. Hallelujah. The intangible can attract the tangible. So that your dream can become a reality. People don't think that integrity is important. You don't need to be nice to people. You don't need to help people. Beloved, there was a man. Who cleans an office? That's all he does. This guy has been doing it in this company for many years. And this man has faithfully done his work The last person to leave the office because he's got to clean all the offices after everybody had left. He had an MD who worked late every day, single day. So he's always at the lift when his boss is about to go home. He leaves late. The boss sees him every day. And when this guy gets where the boss wants to enter the lift, he will open it for him and say, "Good day, sir. Good day, sir." And the man will ask him, "How are you?" And he will answer, "Oh, God has been good to me. I've been on this job for 20-something odd years, and it's still going well. The business is good." And he will say it. "And this company is going places, sir." Every day when this CEO is going, he will always say something positive. "This business is going places, sir." He never knew that what he was saying, the man was actually taking note of it. Praise the Lord. But he was an inconsequential staff, a cleaner in the office. Praise the Lord. But what a lot of people wouldn't know, that you see, when you are a big man, if the Bible says that a successful man has many friends, but you see, the issue is, they know the kind of friends that they have. When people are wealthy and they are very rich, they are very weary of everybody because they think you want to see them because you have one need or the other. So they think they are funny people. Why do you think people just live in a place? You can't just drive in. You can't just come in. You have to tell them before you come. You have to stay at the gate. You have to tell somebody if they are not expecting anybody, you cannot come in. Because once you get to that point, everybody just wants you for something. Except to just love you for who you are. Or to encourage you in what you are doing. Sometimes you look at people because they have money, you think they have no trouble. Big money, big trouble. This man, nobody is encouraging him. When things go well for the company or it's not going well for the company, everybody already sees him high up there. Praise the Lord. So everything must be okay for him. But he had just one cleaner in his office that would say, "It will be well, sir. This company is going places. I've been here for so. I've seen things happen in this." Every day, he was sowing that seed into the man's heart. It was the only encouragement that that man had in his life. He wasn't getting it from anybody. Then one day, that man was about to be thrown. The cleaner was about to be thrown out of his house. He couldn't afford to pay the rent anymore. Unknown to anybody and the man himself, as the MD got to the lift to leave that day, he entered the lift, he came back there. He said, "Where do you live?" "Oh," the man said, "well, from tomorrow I don't know where I will live." Glory be to Jesus. They said, "What happened?" He said, "This is what happened." And the man said, "Tomorrow, see me in my office." He went to see him in the office. The man gave a bunch of keys to him. "I have this house in the woods. It's been locked up for 5 years. I don't intend to live there. My children don't stay in this state. We don't really need it. I hope it will be useful for you and your family." Free of charge. You know what got him that? Right attitude. Now, you may be asking for money. A right attitude got him a house. So you may look at having a right attitude as something intangible. But your right attitude is building up capital for your business. It's opening door for you in the places that you want to go. Hallelujah. Let somebody say attitude. It's important. He just made up his mind. He was a man of little means, but he always had a positive attitude towards everything in life. Do you have a positive attitude towards where you are? If it was some of us, your father loves you, everybody loves you, all of a sudden, you now became a slave. In that Potiphar's house where Joseph was,
he will be carrying his face like this there. Whatever they ask him to do, he won't do it. Hello? In part, he may be wishing that he would die. That rather for me to be a slave and be walking like this, make a cuckoo die. Yeah. You'll be wishing that death should cuckoo take you. That it is better to cuckoo die than to live in penury and live as a slave. But that wasn't the attitude of Joseph. The Bible says when he entered Potiphar's house, Potiphar's business began to prosper. And the Bible said everything that Joseph did prospered in his hand. Why? Because of one thing. He had the right attitude. And God was with him. Hallelujah. He said God was with him. And so whatever he did prospered. To the point where Potiphar himself had to acknowledge and said, everything in this house, I put you in charge. You see, when you have a dream of becoming a leader, what God wants to do in your life, it will speak for you in the pit. It will speak for you in the prison. It will speak everywhere that you go. Look at the story of Joseph. They put him as a slave in somebody's house. Leadership is still speaking. Hallelujah. If you don't like where you are right now, because it doesn't look like where you are going, still keep the right attitude. Negative attitude will keep you locked up there. You remain a slave. Whatsoever your hand findeth to do there, do it with all your might. Praise the Lord. He was doing his work well with the right attitude. At the end of the day, the devil said, hey, okay, so that is it. But this dream has to be killed. What are we going to do to this guy? This dream must not come to pass. Because what you don't know, the devil has a glimpse, not the whole picture, but he has a glimpse that your future is a glorious one. If the devil is fighting you right now, you have a big dream in your life. The devil is not fighting people who are already in his employment. He's fighting those people who want to become who God says that they should be. And that is why the storm is raging. Praise the Lord. And what did Joseph do? The devil said, let's tempt him. Your dream will be tested. I said, let me tell your neighbor, your dream will be tested. But the test does not mean that the dream will not be realized. Hallelujah. The test is to prepare you for your dream. So that when you get to that position of prominence, you will not become an embarrassment to God. So he's trying to get some character flaws out of you. He will get impatience out of you. Hallelujah. He will get greed out of you. He will get disobedience out of you. He will get prayerlessness out of you. Because when you are carrying a dream and things are not looking like it, it will force you on your knees. You will begin to pray until you bath your dream. Hallelujah. So it's all good. Help me tell your neighbor, it's all good. It's worth taking the risk. So Potiphar's house said, well, I offer myself for the employment of the devil. I wanted to trick him. Tempt him. But he didn't fall for the temptation. Why? Because he was a man of integrity. If the word of God does not say it, I don't give myself to it. It does not matter what is happening. Glory be to Jesus. And he said, no, I will not do this and sin against my God. And because of it, he landed him in prison. You see, sometimes some of us, the reason why people compromise, even in our country today, why people will not speak truth to power, it is the fear. Two fears. Fear of loss. Fear of man. What man can do to them. And the Bible tells us, never you fear what man can do to you. Psalm 27, David said, I have no fear of man. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom will I fear? Who am I fearing? But people are afraid. They are afraid to lose their position, to lose their money. They are afraid of going to prison. Praise the Lord. So they would rather compromise or put their face like this. You know people are cheating there. You know people are corrupt in this place. You know people are taking bribe in this place. And then you just say, well, they are, after all, me, I'm not doing it. Hello? Joseph was faced with temptation. Do you know what? Just compromising a little bit with Potiphar's house. I mean, the devil would have painted a different dream for him. Just do that. Once you do that like this, you know she's the wife of the man. She will just carry you out of Egypt like this. You go and meet your father, Jacob. Nobody will know. Before they know it, they say, where is the slave? He has gone. You'll be a free man. But the devil will tell him, no, you will not be free. You'll be a wanted man. He could have. That's what the devil will be telling Joseph. Stolen water is sweet. Just, you know, just compromise. Nobody will know now. It's between the two of you. Praise the Lord. And the woman has money. She will give you everything. You can go and start up your business when you get to your father's place. And then Joseph too will be thinking, that's my way out. After all, God has said he will make a way of escape. And say, that is the way of escape. No, it is the devil. It is the way to a trap. It's not a way to escape. Praise the Lord. Are you hearing what God is saying today? Because some people, their dreams, they will realize it. Some of these dreams, you will realize it this year. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. Help me tell your neighbor. Walk with a good attitude. Regardless of where you are. Whether you are in the pit or whether you are in the prison. Have a good attitude. Hallelujah. We saw what the good attitude did for Joseph. He was put in prison because he refused to compromise. And they put him in prison. Guess what showed up again? That leadership thing still showed up there. The Bible says he was in the prison. He said they put him in the place where they put all the king's officers who had been imprisoned. Why did they go and put him in general population? Where all the people, the RAS boys and the RAS people are. They did not put him there. They put him with the people that matter. Hallelujah. Amen. Not only that, they said lead them. The Bible said that the man who's in charge of the prison put everything in his charge. Everything he was in charge. Even in the prison, he was still in charge. Are you in charge in your prison? Or you are feeling sorry for yourself? Are you pitiful or you are powerful? You can never get bitter and be better at the same time. It's not possible. Is somebody hearing God today? So when God gives you 2 shillings and you look at it and say, this 2 and 2 pence, what am I going to do with it? That's where you remain. But the day you look at what is in your hand and you say, Father, I thank you because I'm on my way to where I'm going, you will realize your dream. Praise the Lord. Because God is just testing you. It is a test. Help me tell your neighbor, it's just a test. You can't afford to fail this test. You cannot. To fail it is to remain in the same class. You've got to move to the next class. Amen. You've got to move to the next class. Your condition today may not fit your dream. But there is something that you need to focus on. Your position. Your position is different. Your dream puts you in the position where you should be.
Position of influence. Position of dominion. We are a people of dominion. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Yeah. We are a people of dominion. To have dominion means to have influence. So we are people of influence. To be able to influence your space, your position, the environment that God has given unto you, that people will look at you and respect you. Oh, glory be to God. You cannot tie your attitude to your condition, but tie your attitude to your position. Your position is where God is taking you to. Your condition is the test and the trial that you are facing. That's why a sick man will say, "Well, I'm sick, I cannot do this one." You are tied to your condition. But a man who wants to realize his dream will say, "By the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And they will rise up in the right attitude and begin to give thanks to God and praise God for where they are. Thank God for where you are right now. Everything you are doing right now, do it well. In your office, they are not even paying me well there. So why am I worried? Why am I bothered? I will not even get to work. When they see me is when they see me, I beg. How much then they pay me safe? Hello? You remain there. I once told a lady, and I think I've shared it before, who came to meet me in my office, was listening to, you know, to one of my programs on television, and she came to my office and said, "Well, this is the problem that she had. She's been looking for a job. She can't find a job and all that." In fact, he said, "It has been so demeaning. Can you imagine all the people that live in my compound where everybody will be going to work? They will now say, 'Oh, Sister Justina, help me to keep my child until I come home.' They will put their children with me and all that." I looked at her. I said, "You are looking for a job? Why are you looking for a job? The job came looking for you. Set up a crash. Collect small money from them." Are people not setting up crash now? Yeah. Where you take your babies there, why you go to work? Do you not pay them to take care of your babies? She didn't see it. She did not see it. God gave her the opportunity. But a bad attitude, a negative attitude, prevented her from seeing a source of income. As it prevented that other gentleman, "You have this car. I don't have anything. I don't have a job. But you still have a car. You have a car. You don't, you know Nigeria, you know Lagos Airport. You don't know Murtala Alam Mohammed Airport. You know the place. Go and register your car at the car hire." May God open your eyes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some people have just allowed the devil to turn them to dreamless people, aimless people in life. And then you'll be blaming God and blaming everybody. "It's the fault of my father." It's not the fault of your father. God has opened a door for you. God has given you a chance. Now take your chance. Praise the Lord. Take your chance. Wherever you are, do it with the right attitude. Do whatever you need to do with a good attitude. "I don't have anything. I don't have..." Go and register your car. Today, the guy has a fleet of car hire cars. Starting with one. You have a car, you don't have a job. You are complaining. What is that? Did you not hear the story in the Bible? Moses said, "I have nothing." He said, "You have a rod in your hand." Everybody has something. Tell your neighbor you are gifted. So I'm saying you don't have something. It's just that you don't know what you have. Now ask the Holy Ghost, "Acquaint me with what I have. If I don't know it, let me know it. Show it to me." And somebody is just using, what are they doing? A right attitude. That's all they're doing. Right attitude. Give somebody a house that his salary can never pay for, even if he didn't spend a kobo till he dies at the age of 100. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. I'm closing now. God asked me to tell you today, do not fear, but rejoice and be glad. I have done great things already. Hallelujah. Rejoice and be glad. That means have the right attitude, because I have already done great things for you. If you are that person, just rise on your feet and just thank God for a few seconds. I say, Lord, I thank you for where I am now, because I know where I am is not where I'm going, but where I am, I thank you for it, because I'm on my way to where I'm going. Joseph was one of the people that saw their dreams come to pass. Will you be one of them? Will you become one of them? Then it is important you have the right attitude. You need to have a right attitude towards where you are. You need to stand on God's promises and not allow the naysayers to kill your dream. You need to be a man and a woman of integrity. Integrity is everything. The intangible can attract the tangible to you if you choose to walk in the right and positive attitude wherever you are. Joseph was in the dream, was in the prison. He had the right attitude. And that was why when other people dreamt, he was able to interpret their dreams. The Lord was with him. So he had a right and a positive attitude. The presence of God attracted good things to him. He was able to help other people, even when he himself needed help so badly. And because he had that right attitude, somebody remembered that it was the dream that he interpreted. And God gave the Pharaoh a dream also. Glory be to Jesus. That required a solution that nobody else has but Joseph. When it is time for your dream to come forth, people will only remember you for your good attitude. If you have a bad attitude, they will not remember you. If he had been bitter because he was put in prison, because he didn't have the right to do whatever he wanted to do, there was no way he could have left that prison. He would have died there, a prisoner. But because he chose to have the right attitude, helping other people, doing things that he needed to do and doing it well, God opened the door for him to release him from prison. I don't know the prison that they have put your dream today. I don't know the pit that they have put your dreams. But if you choose today that whatsoever your hand findeth to do from today, you will do it with all your might. If you choose today, hearing the word of God and say, I'm going to do everything I do in a good attitude. I'm going to be a man and a woman of integrity. I'm going to live by the standard of the word of God. Beloved, you are on your way to the fulfillment of your dream. Praise the Lord. Praise the living Jesus. You are going to pray against all those dream destroyers. Joseph's brother said, we'll kill this dream. We'll see what will happen if we kill him. You are going to pray against them right now. That every plan of the enemy, because we already know, the Bible tells us, according to Isaiah 54 and verse 15, he says, surely they will gather, but not of me. And because they do not have my consent, they will fall for your sake. So every evil gathering, because there was an evil gathering against Joseph's dream. And that's the devil. He knew what that dream would do. He knew that dream was going to preserve a posterity for God. God's people. You are going to pray against them. That all those evil gatherings against your dream, let them fall and scatter for your sake. In the mighty name of Jesus. Open your mouth right now. They must scatter for your sake in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Begin to pray against them. Take the authority that you have and say, oh, you dream killers, you evil gatherings, against my dream, today you go no further. I command all your works destroyed in the name of Jesus. You will not destroy my God-given dream. I will fulfill my dream in the mighty name of Jesus. By the blood of Jesus, I overcome every temptation you bring my way to stop me from focusing on my dream. In the name of Jesus. I come against every plan of the devil to cause me to compromise my dream. I will not compromise the word of God. Whether my dream is in the pit of the palace, I will still obey God. And I will run my race with a good and a right attitude. I refuse to be derailed from my dream. I choose to help people that are in need. I choose to walk in love. Whatsoever my hand findeth to do, I will do with all of my might. I will do it well. And Satan, you will not stop me. I reject every bitterness, every resentment of where I am right now, because I'm on my way to greatness. Bitterness, you will not stop me. In the name of Jesus. Resentment, you will not stop me. In the name of Jesus Christ. I reject every negative dream. I reject every negative counsel. In the mighty name of Jesus. You will not affect my dream. I reject you concerning my dreams in the name of Jesus. I choose to walk in a right attitude. And I shall bath my dreams. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I declare for you that it is done in Jesus' mighty name. Your dreams will not be truncated in the mighty name of Jesus. Whatever dream that God has given unto you, he will grant you the grace to withstand the tests, to withstand the trials, to withstand the storm, to withstand the oppositions, the risk, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. So shall it be for you. You will fulfill God's plan for your life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Every dream here that the enemy has succeeded in burying, today I command them resurrected. Your dream that you thought that it has died, I command it resurrected. And I speak to that dream. I say, live in the name of Jesus. Live in the name of Jesus. Come alive in the name of Jesus. Your dream will not die. It will live. And it will declare the glory of God. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. People will see you fulfill your dreams. They will follow you to God. It will minister to the hopeless. It will give hope to the hopeless. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Put your hands together for Jesus.